Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid Podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Adore.fm, and ChiroRadio.com, and wherever else podcasts are available. Let's get started with the show. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 306 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks, we've got a great show for you this week. One half of a Luna George band out of London will be joining us here very shortly. Aluna Francis will be joining us on the show. Wonderful lady who is doing some pretty fantastic things across the pond and just kind of making their rounds in the States now. Aluna George is. They are on tour. And they stopped by in Seattle, Washington, to play a show at the Neptune, and I had the honor and the pleasure of talking with Aluna, the singer of the band, there in the green room, and had a great conversation. A lot of talk about Game of Thrones, man. A lot of talk about Game of Thrones. What she does on the tour bus when they are on tour, and how this thing got started for her, music in general. And it's a wonderful story. So I hope you guys stick around for the whole thing. We're going to be playing music off of their new album that will be released on September 16th, 2016 on Island Records and Interscope here in the States. It's great, man. It's really good. We're going to be playing three songs off of their... Actually, you know what? I'm going to play one of their older songs, too, off their album Body Music that came out in 2013. I think in the mid part of the show, because it's a great song. Let's see. This is a little bit different than most episodes, man. I'm going to tell you right now. I am a, I don't know if it's closeted or what, but I am a big fan of pop music. And when this one kind of fell in my lap, Aluna George, I took it. Not like most of the music that we have on this show. I dig pop music, man. And it took me a long time to come to grips with that for some odd reason. I mean, and we've talked about this before on the show. I know we have. when I was younger, especially during kind of the 90s coming up, the grunge scene, for lack of a better term, here in Seattle. Like, I felt like I couldn't say that I liked different styles of music, right? It was all like alternative rock music, things of that nature. As I get older, I have come to grips with the fact that I love all types of music, including country, but, maybe not so much the reggae. I can't deal with the reggae. And I can't remember if that got recorded in this episode or not, but that comes up. It does come up. But yeah, I love pop music, man, and this is a really solid pop album. Once again, it's called I Remember. It comes out September 16th, 2016. So watch out for that. I think you guys are going to be hearing a lot of Aluna George in the coming months. Tour dates coming up August 12th. They will be in Oslo, Norway. At Gamle Musiet. I'm not sure what that is, but it sounds rad. Let's see, August 13th, they'll be in Gothenburg, Sweden, Way Out West Festival. August 19th in the Netherlands at the Lowlands Festival, August 20th in Belgium at the Pukkelpop Festival, and back in the States, Hollywood, California, for Nostalgic for the Present Tour, September 29th, and then on and on. Please go to alunageorge.com and check out the upcoming tour dates. And we will have a link to their website at our website, air-raid.net, on the show page. Right there, okay? All right. I have been in Las Vegas for the weekend. Got some sun. It's the first time that I've been to Las Vegas and actually hung out at the pool. One of the things that always makes me anxiety-ridden is taking my shirt off in front of young people. And you know what? I just did it this time around because it was over 100 degrees in Las Vegas this weekend. And it was fantastic. You know what? I just let go. Let go of the anxiety. Let go of the ego. And I was just there, right? We were there celebrating my friend Jessica Toon's 40th birthday, and it was so much fun. Oh, my God. What a great group of people. My friend Luke, his wife Carrie. Let's see. Newman, his lady friend. Camaro Kev and his wife, and then little old me. Oh, and of course, Jessica Toon and her wonderful boy toy. I was the ninth wheel. I was the ninth wheel at this gathering, and it was a little weird. But it was so much fun, man. What a great weekend. What a great weekend with some great people. So if Tuna is listening, happy birthday. Had a great time. I love you. And I know she's not listening. I don't know why I even said that. I was just searching for something to say. She doesn't even listen to podcasts, so that's fine. Oh, my God. All right. Still recovering a little bit. Man, Las Vegas is a weird place. It really is. I know a lot of you listening to this have probably been there. I've been there myself probably four times now. And they do their best at making you lose track of time. Even to the extent where, like, you can go... This is what happened to me because I can no longer sleep in, which is shitty. But you can go there and just get 2 hours of sleep and not even realize it, right? Like, that's what happened to me the whole weekend. Literally. I just get getting like 2 to 3 hours of sleep. We'd go to, you know, everybody would kind of disband and go to their respective rooms at probably like 3, 4 in the morning. And then I'd wake up at like 6:30 and just be like, oh, it's got to be. You know, thinking to myself, it's got to be like 9 o'clock. There's no clocks in the frickin' rooms anymore either. There's no like alarm clock or anything next to the bed. So I'm waking up and it's, you know, it's already super bright outside. I open up the drapes and take a look at my, do a little stretch, look at my phone, and it's only 6:30 a.m. I literally just got like 2 hours of sleep. What the fuck? The fuck? Damn it. So, needless to say, when I get home, you know, tired, very, very tired, and just ready to just rest for like a week. You know, you gotta take an extra week off once you get back from Vegas. All right. That wasn't funny. You guys didn't care. Let's just get on with it, shall we? This song's called I Remember off of the new... it's the title track off the new album that comes out on the 16th of September on Island Records and Interscope here in the States. And it's a fantastic, fantastic song. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears with special guest this week, Aluna Francis of the duo Aluna Joy from London. All right, be back in a moment. I Remember.
When I from your eyes. I remember the fights, burning deep into the night. I remember your scent when I just woke up and I'm on your chest. I remember the sound of your heart racing when you do bad things to me. I wanna feel like it's the first night. I wanna meet you for the first time. I remember your smile when you face it up and it felt so right.
Bus to stop before I get up, because I know that if the bus is still moving, I can't get off the bus when I get up.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, when you're in your house, the first thing you want to do is get up and have a shower and go and get some, you know, a drink or something.
Breakfast. Are you claustrophobic?
No.
Like, do confined spaces bother you?
No, I'm a homebody. Homebody. So if I know that once I get out of my bed, I can't go anywhere, I can't do anything, like I can't have a shower, I can't go and get any breakfast, I can't see daylight, and I can't have fresh air, then I'm like, right, I'm going to stay in here until I know I can escape, because at least I can lie here and daydream.
So it's like you're half claustrophobic, because it's not really the tight, confined space, it's more of just knowing that you can't do anything.
Yes.
Outside of the bus.
So if I stay in that weird half awake state, my conscious brain doesn't freak out about the fact that I'm stuck on a bus. I'm just like, oh, da, 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 weird dreams, wake up. What is that noise? Never mind.
Is there anything that you can do on the bus? Like, I mean, can you watch something?
If it's the other way around and it's like I'm already awake.
Uh-huh.
Then I can do things. I can, I don't know, do mind-numbing things like watch a film or something.
Yeah.
Except the TV in my area, it likes to go black every 20 seconds. So, and the sound.
Oh, it's just real janky.
As well. Yeah, I'm like, oh, wow, okay, so no movies. Cool.
We're getting some real insight into what it's like to be on tour with Aluna George.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And I'm not one of those people that gets like super drunk to go to sleep because I know what happens the next morning.
Sure.
I wasn't built for this.
Do you enjoy it though? I mean, is there a part of you that enjoys?
You know what? I never thought
enjoys the travel.
This. I was doing flights last week, so we did we did that 6 a.m. flight. Like few times I did 6 shows in 5 days, and by the time I got back to the bus, I was like, I miss you. Just like climbed straight into my bed and was like, ah.
Well, yeah, on a bus at least you can lay down, right?
There's some familiarity to it.
Sure.
Something about it.
Does the plane just never get normal? Never become normal? It never has for me.
No, I've taken to watching series on my phone on the plane.
Okay. What are you watching?
Billions.
Oh, really? Do you like it?
Yeah, almost like despite myself. Because the...
That's the one with The Rock, right?
No, Ballers.
Oh, Ballers.
I don't want to watch that.
I don't want to watch it either.
I am not watching it.
Okay.
Okay, great. We're in agreement. What's Billions?
I think it's really interesting because it's talking about, it's like humanizing this trader who's, you know, obviously a billionaire, hence Billions. And
makes sense.
There's a state's attorney who's got it in for him. So you've got the good guy and the bad guy.
Okay.
And then it's all the bloodlines of who's really the good guy and who's the bad guy. And what, you know, the road to good intentions is paved with, you know, bad, you know, they both have to be like treacherous.
Like a house of cards?
Yeah,
Netflix House of Cards kind of thing?
It's a little bit like that, but yeah. I find it a little bit easier to watch than House of Cards. I love, what's his name?
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like the acting in it is, there's something almost stilted.
Really?
I find there's like lots of like, oh, also the narration to the camera, I can't deal with that.
You can't do that?
No, I'm like, do not speak to me right now. It's confusing and alarming.
I just feel like it's so it's incredibly like if you were evil.
Yes, but
yeah.
I don't like the narration. Like, say you were having you were sitting in a meal with a group of people, and you're having a conversation, and then the person next to you starts whispering to you, and you're like, "Well, this is awkward because we're all having a conversation. Now you're whispering to me, and I don't know what to do because why is this just for me?" Why am I the only person knowing this thing?
Is that like, for all like series that you watch or movies that you watch? Like you don't need narration.
I don't.
No, there's movies out there.
I do need narration, but I like it when somebody who is in the room with me is like, "Yo, did you not disconnect?" That like I was watching Game of Thrones and I didn't understand that Jon Snow wasn't the son of Ned Stark.
Right.
He wasn't even a bastard child. He's just not related at all. He's like someone else's kid. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, that's why everyone was just like, I was like, I didn't get that.
Yeah, it took me a while to get to pick that up. That's why my wife Spoiler and I are alert. Actually going through and rewatching the whole series.
Jeez.
And I had to turn to my wife last night and said, Mairead, I don't know if I can do this anymore because it's literally like watching my like people that you love just get murdered again.
Oh, I know.
It's you know,
the thing that's difficult for me is that, let's be honest, the acting in Game of Thrones is not great.
Wait,
now they've all learned to get into these characters. Okay,
I don't know.
But let's look at the early series.
Okay,
and the acting is not good. Okay,
it's good.
No, it's awkward, and it's just early. And so I just like when somebody has to get with Game of Thrones, which is you know also the same as being my friend. I know they have to go through these first series where like
is that a Spice Girls reference?
If you want to be my lover, you got to watch Game of Thrones.
There you go. Okay. Okay.
That's my new album. and I'm like, just ignore the acting. It's about the story, which also doesn't really come into real, you know, urgency into the second series, but you have to watch the first series. I'm sorry.
You do.
But it
to.
Would also be great if you listened to the audiobook.
Have you?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what I like to do with these big things based on books is insist on reading the book.
Yeah.
Like, I am not going to go and watch the BFG with anyone who has not read the BFG.
I think here in the States, for me anyway, the BFG was actually required reading. It was one of the books that you had to pick when you were in elementary school to read it, I think.
And I don't care if that didn't happen to you. You still have to read it. It's really not a long book.
Yeah. It's got to be like 100 pages.
But I was on tour, so I had to listen to the audiobook of Game of Thrones. And it was really funny because there's this English actor who's like doing this, like, you know, he's like middle-aged, like proper like theater actor doing Daenerys Stormborn. His voice going, I'm Daenerys Stormborn.
Oh, he was actually doing the voices?
Yes, he was doing all the voices.
The female voices?
Yes, it was amazing. I was like, this is...
Oh, that's too much.
Just absolutely fabulous.
See, I can't do that because I feel like because whenever I read the book and then see the movie, I'm always disappointed in the movie, right? Because they always leave stuff out. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, one of my favorite books of all time.
No, what you have to do is support the movie with all the information you have about what's going on, really.
Well, there's that too. But for the most part, I am always disappointed. Is this going to be a dividing thing between us, I feel like.
Yes. Because you're going to put people off reading the book, and I don't appreciate that.
No. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying,
hey, everyone,
personally,
read the book and you'll hate the film. Great.
But the film and TV shows, they always kind of leave something out because there's, you know, there's time constraints.
No, look at Game of Thrones. I mean, I've read the book, okay? Yeah. The age difference is horrifying. I prefer the ages in the film, in the TV show, to be honest with you.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Daenerys Stormborn gets married in the book when she's like 11 or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah! Child prostitution, help! you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, look, I mean, we digress. What else should we talk about? I can literally talk about Game of Thrones for half an hour.
Well, let's keep going on that for a little bit. Come on.
Well, you know, what other series in history has had female characters like these ones?
That are so badass?
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
They're badass, but they're complex. They're also sensitive, emotional, loving, then fierce and deadly. And Arry starts off as like a weedy girl with a kind of boy's, you know, attitude, but she doesn't have any skills, and then she learns them.
Wait, are you talking about Arya Stark?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
She calls herself Arya, though, doesn't she?
I don't know.
She hasn't said her name in a while. Arya.
No, she's one of my favorite characters.
Everyone says it with a weird kind of speech thing that's Arya.
Yeah.
Like, they don't move their mouth, and they're Arya.
Maybe it's just a States thing.
Arya.
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 So I just go, Arya? Brilliant.
She's one of my favorite characters. The Queen of Dragons?
Daenerys Stormborn?
Yeah, Daenerys. I'm not really into her storyline anymore.
Why? Because she's too badass now?
Well, yeah, she's just invincible, basically.
Yeah.
Like, she...
Well, that's what we do like about those characters, is that they do get brought down a peg or two.
Right, but the way that the show is going now... Like,
although she's been through so much, come on.
She has been through a lot. Like, when we started watching...
Child abuse, this girl's gone through.
Oh, totally. And her brother, thank God, he was killed.
And don't forget, in the last series, she had to walk a really long way in a really hot desert, and nobody
liked
her. That's
true. Yeah, yeah.
And then she came out of fire.
That's hard to do.
She makes it look easy. She's interesting because she's the only one who really starts messing around with magicalness, apart from obviously the witch.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's straightforward up magic, but everyone else has very kind of realistic problems. Like, I must fight you with sword,
right?
Or you're going to put me in prison, and then I will have to use my cunning ways to get out of prison.
Or Cersei, who's just evil.
Ah, but look at, you know, it's talking about the protective instinct of the mother. And, you know, you want to look at things like, we need to talk about Kevin. You know, mothers have had horrible, horrible, horrible children throughout history.
Uh-huh.
Hitler had a mum. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's an age-old story of, what do you do when your kid is evil? Do you still protect them?
Yeah, but she was kind of evil to start out with too, though.
What, so you're saying her kids were evil because she was evil?
A little bit.
No, kids come out completely good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, Cersei kind of...
But look,
she was born...
She was already living in the Game of Thrones times when...
Sure.
Kings were murdered and you had to look out. As a woman with no rights, because as you see through the story, she gets her rights taken away from her constantly, and she has to claw them back.
Yeah.
So as a mother who's got to protect her children, even when your husband's died and... That people are trying to say that you don't have any right to the throne and things like that. but you've got to get your kid on the throne, you've got to do some brutal activities out there.
Like sleep with your brother?
Yeah, that's her soft side coming out there. I mean, he's pretty hot, isn't he? And also, we can't have royalty without a little bit of incest. Come on. How do you think our whole royal family is built across all of the different countries? There's a lot of incest.
Probably.
Until it's they work out. They only switch it up when they have, like, they want to, like, solve a kind of peacetime issue. Like, how about you don't sleep with your brother and sleep with this other person's brother? How about that? Just and as a change.
Create a new king.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bloodlines.
Yeah.
Now we're back on the billions conversation.
What's the link there? What's
bloodlines.
Bloodlines?
Yeah, weren't you talking about bloodlines in that show? Should no. I just severed it, didn't I?
Wow.
I just screwed it up.
You went all the way out there and now you're alone.
And now I can't bring it back.
Yeah.
But I will, because it's really hard to talk to you about this show because I feel like I can't really argue with you because you have the accent.
People do say that the English accent just has so much authority.
It does.
Mm.
And it makes you sound way smarter.
I know. I had to deal with that when I first started to hang out in America because my ego just went right up. People were like, oh my God, you're so interesting. That is such an interesting point. I love when she says things. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm really...
Well, you get that from hanging out at...
So deep.
Hanging out at music festivals a lot, right?
Well, no, it's more in the studio.
Is it really?
Yeah, because I'm the, you know, the go-to... I mean, I try not to be this way, but I do have... what seemingly strong opinions in the studio.
Sure.
So someone will be... But the thing was, when me and George would be in the studio alone, I was always behind him, and he was always at the computer. So I would make these faces, and I have a lot of different facial expressions. So he'd be, like, mucking around with some, like, insane noise, and I'd be staring at him with, like, this hilarious expression of amusement, distaste, and kind of waiting.
Yeah.
And then eventually he'd change it and it would be whatever we use on the record, and I'd be like, much better. So then if I'm in a studio with somebody who's facing the other way, they're like, oh my God, you don't like it? I'm like, what? Oh no, this is my... Oh shit, yeah.
It's my processing face.
Yes. It's
you're going through
it's
the
how
motions.
I telepathically get you to make this sound better without offending you, except that you're looking at me now, so now you're offended. Okay, cool. So I had to learn how to, you know, say what I think.
up. My girls all hover. When we see a creep, we put him to sleep. Huh? Macaroni Tony in the ditch. Cause he grabbed my ass and called me a bitch. A Luna should have called a lot sooner. Got wolves around the world. Could have sent one of my juniors. But now 47 here. And I bought reinforcement to make sure we clear.
Big change because you and George met online through MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
You guys connected there, and it sounded like you guys were basically recording music in like George's bedroom, right?
Yeah.
So it was a big change making that switch from like, you know, home kind of a studio with like blankets hanging from the walls and stuff to a professional setting.
Yeah. It is, and actually a lot of the songs that we've ended up putting out were in varying degrees of bedroom.
Really?
Yeah.
Even on this newest record?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm in Control was written in a sort of homey studio setup. Mean What I Mean was the same. Mm-hmm. The production was done in... a studio that had a bookshelf on one whole wall, and so to get into the toilet you had to press a button that opened the bookshelf.
Are you shitting me?
No.
That's amazing.
Very,
that sounds really
very
cool.
Harry Potter.
Yeah. Was there a wand in there?
Well, yeah, you pulled the wand to flush the toilet. what else? Yeah, then a few of the tracks are from the session we did in Henley upon Thames, which is where they have the Henley Regatta, which is rowing, if you don't know
right.
what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Very country vibes, lots of wooden beams. It was a studio, but it was, you know, tiny and very cute and...
Yeah. And is it just you two, like, working together, or are you working with, like, a producer? And
that was just us two working together. Yeah.
See, that seems more comfortable. Every time I've been into a studio, it's been a very kind of stressful experience for me because, first of all, I wasn't very good ever. And then, second of all, it was like somebody else from outside of the band or from your group is watching you try to create music. And I always found that very stressful.
No, I had somebody, like... I've had a couple of sessions where I've had to text somebody and ask them who the person in the corner is and can they please leave.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they were like, oh, I think that's so-and-so's manager. I'm like, okay, can you come and get them out of here? I did a session with Prodigy and Mobb Deep.
Really?
And I sort of threw a bit of a diva because it was really early doors for me and I didn't understand why people rolled so deep.
Yeah.
They were rolling like, I don't know, 15 deep, right?
So just 15 people just in the studio.
Yeah, in the studio.
Watching you do,
which is like
thing.
Totally normal, apparently. For me, I'm only with George. So I'm freaking out. In the corner of my eye, I can see like a girl chewing gum and texting on her phone. There's another guy rolling a joint. There's another guy who's just on his laptop with headphones on. And I'm just like, what is everyone doing? I was like, okay, if you are not working on this track, can you please leave? And they all kind of like slowly looked at me. And they were like, what is this girl? Who does she think she is? And I was like, I just can't work this way. I can't do it. And they all got up slowly and left. I was like, okay, I can write it. And then I started recording it. And I just saw them all just come straight back in, sit down and just like look at me like, hey. I was like, God damn it. That kind of taught me that...
That kind of put you in your place a little bit.
Yeah, I was like, oh, God, okay, fine. So, but it, That I haven't actually worked that way for since then. I just tend to work with people that I guess roll shallow.
Yeah, the opposite of rolling deep. Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So shallow.
Yeah. So.
It's a weird picture, isn't it?
What's that?
This is a very themed room, isn't it?
Like, yeah, the Neptune, man. It's very nautical.
Very nautical.
Yeah. So did singing start at a young age for you? Were you always a singer?
Yeah. And it's hard to admit that because you just don't really notice what you do as a kid. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, that's got nothing to do with what I'm doing now. Then you're like, kind of.
Give me an example of what you would do as a child.
I thought what I was doing, I have no idea, but in my mind as a six-year-old, I was writing songs and singing them, just making stuff up.
Yeah.
Only child syndrome. What do you do when you have no friends and no family?
You didn't have any friends when you were a kid?
Well, we moved a lot. Yeah. So there was a lot of downtime.
Okay,
Where... between making new friends and leaving your old friends.
Military family?
No. Hippie mum.
Oh.
She liked to travel.
Yeah. So
she was just trying
opposite.
To make a better life, and then often it would seem like a good idea to move for that. Mm-hmm.
Was it just all around, like, Britain?
No.
Or England?
We went from England to New Jersey. Then we came back to London. Then we went to Berkhamsted. Then we went to... somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Wow, when you say you moved around, you actually moved around the world.
No, yeah, I mean, two countries.
New Jersey, yeah.
Yeah, and then a few other places in Hertfordshire, and then we ended up in St. Albans, which is a Roman town, where we have Roman ruins in our local park.
That's pretty amazing.
I know. Yeah. It's just something that we always just took for granted.
Right, yeah. So... was your mom very musical?
I do remember her doing a performance once.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, Mum looks really nervous and excited. What is this?
Uh-huh.
I've never seen her this way. And she did some sort of song on stage, and I remember it so clearly. She can't remember that. But she must have shown me... something about what being on stage is like. My dad doesn't really... he can't really play anything. He would kind of muck around on the guitar, but with the same three notes, which I found very annoying. I was like, that's not playing guitar, Dad! But he listened exclusively to reggae, reggae. Which I also found annoying.
Yeah. How do you feel about it now?
Fine.
Yeah?
Yeah. As a 13-year-old living in a white middle-class town and having him come and drive me and my friends to my birthday party and playing a song that was a man in the... just like doing... you know, hip-hop interludes...
mm-hmm.
This was a reggae interlude, okay? So the guy is crying and laughing and begging his woman to not to leave him or something.
Okay.
So a horrendous cacophony of weird. And like me, I'm just dying. I'm like, oh my God. My friends are just like, your dad is so weird. He's got one dreadlock. And he's black, and he's listening to a man crying on the tape player.
Who was it?
Who knows? You think I knew? I was like, please, I'm going to throw that tape away forever. I'm also never allowed to meet my friends ever again. Some friends they it turned out to be.
Apparently, yeah.
Rubbish. Jeez. Rubbish. No taste. What I'd give to hear that tape again right now would give me so much joy. I can do a really good impression of it because it was literally burnt into my ears and I only ever heard it once, but I'm not going to do it now.
You're not
going to,
okay. You knew that I would say, yeah. Mm. I won't make you do that.
No, you wouldn't, would you?
Yeah.
It might upset you.
Well, I don't want to be upset. I've always had like a
sensitive propensity for upsetness.
Well, it reggae makes me kind of upset a little bit.
Yeah.
I share that feeling with your childhood.
Is it the rhythm?
Yeah, I think it's something about how it all kind of sounds the same.
Oh, that thing.
To me? Yeah.
Yeah, there is a little problem there about that.
Right, right. It's the same thing I feel about mariachi music. I just don't get it. Like I didn't grow up in that culture. I just don't understand it.
No, I didn't grow up in that culture. It was just my dad's thing.
Right, right.
Like but I have now friends. I have an innate ability to dance to ragga and reggae and dancehall. So it went in.
It's been passed
There's like
on.
Certain types of music that went into my nature symbiotically so that I didn't really need to think about whether I liked it or not. So R&B was like that, reggae's like that, dancehall's like that. I guess soul music to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So my influences tend to be a weird concoction of things that I never thought about that I have a natural connection to.
Right.
And then other types of music that I consider my taste in music because I especially went out of my way to listen to it and would be very conscious when I was listening to it and very engaged.
What would be some examples of that?
Like Radiohead, Jeff Buckley, PJ Harvey, Boards of Canada, Cinematic Orchestra, Sigur Rós, weird and Wonderful.
That's a great mix. Mm. Yeah, I share that love as well. Jeff Buckley, certainly. It's quite, Live at the Cine.
Quite an acquired taste, that emo boy.
Yeah, yeah.
So emo.
Like, you think he was? Really you think it was emo?
Emotional, like just yeah. really over the top.
See, when you say emo over here in the States, people associate that with like My Chemical Romance.
I know, but that's over now, so we're going to reuse sure. the word, change it. maybe I should just say emosh.
Emosh?
Yeah.
There you go.
Trey emosh.
Yeah, you add the sh. That's what the kids are doing now. Mm. That's great. Yeah. But Jeff Buckley, man, the first time I heard him was the live album what's the song? He sings that, it's live at the, I don't even know how to say it right, Live at the Sina or Sheena, Sheena. You know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
No?
I don't like live recordings of anyone.
Really?
It's a real weird thing. I have literally no understanding of why people like that.
Will you go back and listen to this Jeff Buckley one, though?
I've listened to them. I don't want to hear it. I think it does two things for me. It makes me wish I'd been there.
Yeah. That's part of it, though. That's part of the whole thing.
And it just doesn't sound as good as the record.
Well, yeah, yeah.
So those two things leave me to not enjoy it.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that. I don't know, though.
I don't like hearing cheers.
Yeah.
Whooping for a song. It's very distressing to me.
So you're telling me that Aluna George will never do a live album, ever?
Well, look, if people want it, that's their fault. It's their problem. I can provide whatever. Don't ask me to enjoy listening to it, though.
Okay, yeah. Do you ever listen to your own stuff? Outside of the studio?
Well, I have to, because I have to choose the track listing and, decide whether mixes sound good and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. How do you feel when you hear your own, when you hear your own material? Have you ever been to a spot, I guess I should elaborate on that. Have you ever been to walking through a store and heard your song come on the radio or something like that?
Yeah, I tend to leave.
Yeah.
Or duck. I used to duck a lot.
Or duck.
It's a very strange reaction, yeah. But I would sort of duck and skulk away as though some sort of like message had popped up above my head, like, look at her, she's on this record and also in this store. How funny is that?
Isn't there a sense of pride, though, at all?
No.
Like, oh, my God. Or just excitement, like immediate excitement. This is what I would think, right?
No.
Being outside.
My friends get that, and then they're like, yeah, come on.
That's my friend.
And I'm like, oh, God. And so now they enjoy watching me die.
Yeah.
So I've switched it up now. If I'm not there, they're just proud. And if I am there, they just laugh at me and enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
And I've learned now to be a bit more gracious.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, yeah. I know. Yeah. Let's blah, 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 blah. I don't know if that makes any sense. But.
No, I get it. So do you enjoy where you've ended up with all this stuff? I mean, like, you know, we started off talking about like touring and being on the bus and of course that went into the, you know, the essential Game of Thrones chat. But do you enjoy it? Like, you know, the touring, the making the art,
it's funny. You know? It feels like that's the ultimate question for everyone who wants to know what my life is like. The most important thing for them is that I enjoy myself, which is interesting coming from my perspective because I guess enjoyment isn't, well, it could be something I take for granted, like, but the things that I think are important to do with the life that you have is to feel alive, make a difference, get involved, and be real.
Sure.
So it's kind of maybe not, because it's not so inaccessible to me, it's not that high up on my list.
Right.
I get that doing a 9-to-5 job can be grueling and especially depressing if you're not built for that. But those moments that you have in your break time or when you are hanging out with a colleague, you know, those are moments that you enjoy when you're laughing about what such and such and things like that. When you've done something at work and it's been completed and it went well, your boss is like, good job or whatever. I get the same thing. So we've written a song, it makes some sense, sounds pretty good, as in it's got good melodies, and you go, oh great, so the time that I spent means that I've created something that could create enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm, you know, when I'm doing live shows, the goal is to make a connection with your audience and create a meaningful experience for them and make sure they go away with something enriching. What I associate with having fun and enjoying myself is if I have time off and I go to a spa or I go and go clubbing and get, you know, have one night off where I get to drink or something like that.
Sure.
My job is not about dancing around having the greatest time in my life. And I think that it's disingenuous to claim that that's what I'm doing it for.
Yeah. I think part of it, though, is that people, they look at jobs in the entertainment industry as like dreams. Right?
I know.
And that's, I would imagine that's probably what you did before you got into it as
well. The trouble with making your dreams come true is you've got to know that it's not a journey paved with enjoyment.
Sure. It's a lot of hard work.
It just isn't. And it doesn't matter that it's not.
Yeah.
It's got to be it's about fulfillment and feeling like you're doing something.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And I think that it can be, if you think that making your dreams come true is about that and then you find out that it's not, it can be kind of a real real shock. Mm-hmm. So I tend not to bother to pander to, I know people want to feel and think that I'm what quote unquote living the dream, i.e. meaning I'm just enjoying myself 24 hours a day. And I know people would like to think that because it's kind of something to daydream about. But then in the end, people come to me and they genuinely ask me how they can make their dreams come true. And if I lie to them and say, well, you've just got to make sure you're having a great time the whole time and then you'll get to where you want to get to. Like, No, that's just not true.
Yeah, yeah.
It just doesn't.
So let me rephrase it. Are you fulfilled?
Yes.
There you go.
Certainly. The more I get into this industry, the further up I go, the more successful I get. I'm taking my message with me and making art, making pieces of people's lives that they can interpret in their own way and use in their own way and take with them on their journey to being whoever they are. That's certainly fulfilling to me. What's also fulfilling to me is being able to work with highly motivated, highly talented people, which is just absolute joy. Like, the energy that you exchange with that person is just amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great spot to end it. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Pleasure.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed yourself.
Oh, I did. I really enjoyed myself. It's enjoyable.
I'm fulfilled. Well, there you have it, folks. I should have cleared my throat before I started that. There you have it, Aluna Francis, one half of the group Aluna George from London. Let's see. Once again, they will be back in the United States on September 29th for the Nostalgic for the Present tour. Hollywood, California, they started out. Austin, Texas, October 1st at Austin City Limits. Back in Hollywood, October 4th and October 5th. And then in Las Vegas, where I just was, October 7th. So, all right. You have many, many chances to check them out. Go to alunageorge.com. Check out all the tour dates. They've got some European tour dates coming up the rest of this month as well. So, go and do that, right? Yes. Okay. During the mid part of the show, the mid-show break, we played I Mean What I Mean. Off of the upcoming album, I Remember, due out in September. I didn't go with an older one on that one. I had a great time talking with Aluna Francis, man. That was super fun. She was like the perfect mix of sarcastic, introspective, and a wonderful, wonderful fan of one of my favorite shows out there, Game of Thrones. So that was a ton of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed yourselves as well. All right. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. Only takes a couple seconds to give us a 5-star rating, or, you know, just be honest on what you think, and it really does help us out in the long run. We are also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, and Cairo Radio apps for your mobile device, so you can download it there, or find it wherever else podcasts are available. We're also available on Google Play now, so you can get it there as well. Or you can just subscribe on your, you know, third-party podcatchers at air-raid.net. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/theairraidpodcast or follow us on Twitter at airraidnet. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Take the pledge to tell somebody about the show. Keep on sharing it on social media. We really, really appreciate it. Tell your friends about it. Bring it up in conversation, right? Subscribe your family members to it while they're not looking. It's totally legal. All right. We're going to go out this week with another Aluna George song because, duh. This one's called I'm in Control off of the new album coming out in September. I Remember. It rhymes. It rhymes. All right. I'm in Control by Aluna George. Thank you so much for joining us this week, folks. We had a great time talking with you. And we'll be back next week with an all-new episode of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Have a good one, everybody. We love ya. If you're picking up a call, come into your worst, you know that I'm in control. I'm in control. Don't you know I'm
she gon' start wind up. Love how she smile when the worm crawl up. Baby, you're full of action like twilight. And you're not dead like 9-8, girl. Bubble like champagne or Sprite, girl.
Control, but me a the real boss, girl.
I'm in control.